Hello, PMP. Welcome to my camp hotel room. You have me today because the queen is downstairs in the meeting room. I think right now having a little Q&A with Chris and Logan, actually. Y'all, camp, I just can't even explain to you how amazing it's been. It has been, of course, I always say this because I love camp so much, but we had 360 some odd ladies here, and they've just, it's just amazing. Just amazing. Just incredible. All right. So I am looking for one person who signed up. Her name is Jill Larson. I'm looking for Jill Larson today. Only had one sign up. Oh, good. She's raised her hand. Let me tell you how we'll roll. I'm going to coach Jill. And then anyone else who wants to be coached today, I'll take up to three more because this is usually about an hour call, right? So I'll take up to three more. All you'll have to do is raise your hand. So let's get started. For anybody who doesn't know, I'm Kathy. I'm Coach Kathy. It was interesting. We had a request for Betsy and me to introduce ourselves to the group and talk about our success stories. I guess you'd call us success stories, right? So that was kind of cool. All right. We have Jill here. Let's go ahead and get you rolling, Miss Jill. All right. I'm going to ask you to start your video. Let's see if we can get you unmuted. I think you're coming. So if you guys want to talk amongst yourselves, you can talk in the chat. Make sure you're talking to all panelists and attendees. Jill, where are you?
Oh, no.
Oh, okay.
My camera is not enabled on my, so I think I need to log out and log back in.
Okay. I tell you what, if you will do that, I'll just go ahead and take the person who has their hand raised and we'll come right back to you. Okay.
All right.
See ya. Okay. Kelly. I forgot what I was saying. Oh yeah. Chat. You guys chat amongst yourselves in the chat. If you have a question for me, you can put it in the Q&A. All right, Kelly, let's get you rolling.
To start your video, okay.
Oh, you're coming. There you are.
Hi.
Hey, what's up?
Oh, I was just so unexpected. I just got out of the shower and was like, oh, I got a Zoom coaching I can tune into.
Yeah.
And then you said there's only one person signed up.
Yes, only one person signed up. So I can take you and two more and nobody else's hands are raised. So let's talk.
All right, let's start with... Oh, I had a busy morning this morning, but took a shower and got on the scale, and I've got fat girl thinking today. Bam.
Okay. What is your fat girl thinking? Tell me what that one, you know, ugly thought is that you want to work on. All right, let's do this.
It's like maybe the bloat. I feel bloated.
You got on the scale this morning. What did it say?
It said, I'm up a pound.
You're up a pound.
Yeah.
What was your thought? When you saw that number, what was the first thing that popped into your head?
Asshole.
Okay.
I called the scale that.
You called the scale an asshole. Yeah. Why did you call the scale an asshole? Why is it the scale's fault?
I know. It's not the scale's fault. I'm trying to bring back the... all of the thinking, the coaching, that just means you got to work. You got to do what works for you. You know what works and you're not doing it.
Okay. You know what works and you're not doing it. Why aren't you doing it?
I don't know. I feel distracted. I'm reading stuff about yoga and meditation, and then I'll dabble back into PMP, and then I'll go back to, other things that I'm trying to learn about and whatnot. Like, I just feel like I have a lot of irons in the fire right now.
Oh, I have a lot of irons in the fire. Sure, that's distracting. Could that be overwhelmed?
And I don't feel overwhelmed. I don't feel stressed.
All right. You have a lot of irons in the fire and you feel a little distracted. What are you doing when you feel distracted?
So like right now, let's say this morning, for example, I get up, I have breakfast, I say goodbye to our guests, I get in the shower, and I'm thinking, okay, what do I need to do for P&P? Oh, good, there's a coaching call. I got to get back onto that. And then, okay, so I got to get back onto that. I should go get my planner and do my food plan for today and tomorrow. And had I not caught you, I don't know what I would have been doing. I probably would have went and learned more about meditation.
Okay. This is so interesting because you just went through your whole intentional model.
Okay.
Okay. And that is, the thought is, I've got to get back on track. The feeling is, I don't know, ready, you know, curious, whatever. The action was get on a coaching call, right? Oh, look, check the schedule, get on a coaching call, you know, and the result is I'm going to get some focus to get back on track. But what happened last week to create the 1 pound loss, 1 pound gain? Why did you feel off track?
So I wasn't planning. Okay. I talked to my accountability partner about it and I laid that all out for her. And she said, in my model, I had a lot of inaction in my action line.
Right. Right. Do you hear the door creaking?
So I have to turn those inactions into my actions. If I'm not drinking my water, no, you got to start drinking your water again. Why did I stop drinking the water? When I was doing it, it didn't seem like there was any effort in it. I filled my bottle up every morning and away I went and the water went down. Now I get home and my bottle's still full.
Okay. I'm going to put studying in your action line.
Okay.
So you have to excuse my whiteboard. It's a little Marriott card, but here's what your model looks like. Okay.
Okay.
Is this, tell me if this is true. You got on the scale said you're up a pound.
Yeah.
The thought was, well, I have a lot of irons in the fire. And I was okay. Distracted.
Yeah.
When I'm distracted, I'm really not doing a lot of things and I'm studying instead of moving things into action. I'm reading about meditation. I'm reading about yoga, but you're not planning. Is that right?
Right.
You're not
right.
Doing the things. And the result is you're really not getting anything done.
Correct.
Right. So are you thinking about planning? Are you thinking I should plan?
Yes. I think I should grab my binder. I should be putting pen to paper.
Right.
Yeah.
So you know the things to do.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you know the difference between massive action and passive action?
Yeah, I remember doing that course and buffering is coming to me right now.
Okay. So for everyone who doesn't understand, passive action is like reading and studying and thinking about what you should be doing and all that kind of stuff, right? It's understanding the concepts, but not really doing the concepts.
Yes.
It's learning about the concepts, not really doing the concepts. Massive action is actually doing them.
Right.
Okay. So what you're doing is you know all the concepts. You just are using a buffer or a distraction to keep you from moving into action.
Right.
Right? To keep you from actually doing your plan and actually drinking your water. Are you getting your sleep?
I am.
Okay. So you're getting your sleep. What about your hunger scale? How's that looking?
I came to a realization on that too, that I'd had -2 and +2 stuck in my brain for so long that I forgot there's a whole -10 to a +10 scale. So I am trying to get more comfortable with that and focusing on the whole 10 scale and zeroing in on the 2 to 2 because that my brain got screwed up with that too.
Yeah. Yeah. So in other words, you knew about the -2 and the +2, but you were pretty much not paying attention to it.
Yeah. Like I think I think my -2 turned into my -10.
I hope not -10. That would be like 30 days with no food. I'm guessing that's not the truth if you actually put on a pound this week. Okay. So what, you know, you actually said your intentional model. You said, I'm going to ask for help. I'm going to make a plan. I'm going to get back on track. Tell me what that looks like. If you were to create your weight loss day today, from a real compassionate place, you know, from where you are right now, not, oh my gosh, it's chicken and broccoli all day and I can do this because I'm a badass. What does it look like realistically?
There's no reason why I wouldn't be able to do my water today. I filled my cup. Mm-hmm. So I would do my plan and probably do, the hit and miss parts of my plan over the last month. I can do an assessment on that and see what's going on in your life where you're falling off plan. Okay. For my lunch and dinner, figure that out. It's my husband's birthday. So I'm going to eat my 2 to 2 for whatever he picks for his birthday dinner.
Perfect. Perfect.
And then
are you going to have dessert? Are you going to have birthday cake?
I'm not planning on birthday cake tonight. We had cheesecake last night with some family over.
Okay. So you have the bones of a realistic plan for today and you're going to get your water in. That's perfect. It's exactly where you should start to get yourself back on track. Can you do that again tomorrow?
Yes. I should do it tomorrow.
No, not should.
I will. I feel like I have bones every day. So when we talk about going into massive action, that's what I need. Where do I do massive action every day? How do I do massive action every day?
You decide that you're going to do your stuff.
Okay.
And I'm a big plan. I know this is going to shock everyone, but I'm a big planner. You know, I like to create my little, you know, structure for myself. So I always plan at the same time of day.
Okay.
I know that's when I'll do it. I know that's when it'll get done. I journal. Have y'all ever heard? I journal when my husband is in the shower because I know he's not going to talk to me because he's in the shower. Right. So I know I have, he takes kind of a long shower. I know I have 10 or 15 minutes at least to do my journaling. I plan after I close the kitchen at night, I assess my day and I plan the next day. So what time of day works best for you to do your assessment of today and your plan for the next day?
Well, I find that I have about 45 minutes of free time in the morning. Kids get on the bus, husband goes to work, and then I finish what I need to do to get out the door for my job.
Yeah. So that would be a perfect time to do your assessment of the previous day and your plan for that day, right?
Right.
Can you commit to doing that for the next week?
I can. And now I want to know where I'm going to do my meditation and yoga because that's what I've been doing the past couple of weeks in that time.
Well, how long do you think it takes to make a plan?
About 5 to 10 minutes.
No. That's too long.
Okay.
What if you said, I can get my assessment and my plan done all in 10 minutes?
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Decide now that that's just what I'm going to do.
Okay.
Right? Because you can allow your brain, you know, you'd say 20 minutes, you'd say 30 minutes, and your brain will take that long. You'll go into confusion, you'll procrastinate. Well, maybe I'll get a drink of water, or maybe, oh, look, I should clean up this, you know, whatever. Give yourself a constrained amount of time and tell yourself that's all you need.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep.
If that time doesn't work for you, decide on a different time.
Okay.
Okay. I wouldn't bounce around with it though.
Okay.
I'd try to create a habit of when you're going to do your assessment and your plan. And I love doing them together because I learn things from my assessment of the previous day that I can carry into today. Like whether, you know, if you assess the previous day and you were off plan 2 of the 3 meals, you know your plan wasn't realistic enough.
Right.
So you need to create a more realistic plan. For me, the big thing is my snack. I didn't plan a snack for today. I can tell you I'm really hungry right now. I'm going to have lunch when I'm done, and that's fine. I probably won't need a snack before dinner because lunch will be late. But if I go through a day where I didn't plan a snack and there was 7 or 8 hours, I'm going to look at that and know the next day I might need to plan a snack. You see what I'm saying? There's just little tweaks that you make as you assess the previous day to determine whether or not, you know, you need to make any changes for the next day.
Right.
So I love doing those two things together.
I'm on a coaching call.
Hi.
Yeah, birthday.
So does that make sense? Does that help?
Yes, it does. Yep.
All right. So you have committed to a realistic plan, a little bit of an assessment each day, and getting your water in.
Yes.
And you're already doing your sleep.
Yep.
So a week or so of that, then you really start working on that hunger scale again.
Okay.
I want you to take small steps to layer back in things. Okay.
Okay.
And that way you're, if you take it all on at once and you're not successful, I mean, for me, the beatdown starts again. And I don't want you in beatdown mode. I want you,
right.
I want you in success mode.
Right.
This is what I can do and I can do this well.
Yes.
Is that what that feels like?
Yes, that's what I want, because that's what I was feeling this morning was beatdown mode.
Yeah. Beatdown mode is this is going to shock everyone. Beatdown mode is counterproductive. It doesn't help. Right?
Right. Okay.
Does that help really? That helps you, you know, frame things, get a little structure back in?
Yes, it does. Yep. Yeah, and I think you're absolutely right. I have to definitely, this is the time I do this every day. Or even if it's not the particular time, if it can't be 7:15 every morning, I know my husband does take a shower when he gets home from work every day. I can do it then.
Yeah. I mean, that's, to me, that's a beautiful. Yeah,
to find the day, or find the time of the day.
Yeah, I can create that little bit, that little nugget of focus time just for me, because I know that there's nobody else that's going to talk to me.
Right.
I don't want to say bother me, because he doesn't bother me, but he does.
Yeah.
He does like to talk to me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
You got
All right.
Anything
thank
else?
You so much, Kathy.
You're welcome.
I don't think so.
All right.
Thanks.
Take care.
I'll see you next year at camp. I'm signed up for October 2020.
It's awesome, y'all.
Yeah.
I'm just blown away. It's just been a beautiful weekend.
Great.
All right.
All right. Have a good rest of your weekend.
You too. See ya.
Bye.
Bye. All right. Jill, are you back? Jill Larson, if you are back, raise your hand. She was going to check on her settings. I don't see her back, but I have another hand. Oh, you are back. Awesome. All right. And I see you, Tana, too. Tana. So we'll get you next. All right. Oh, there's your awesome. Got your video. Got it all. Awesome.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
All right.
How are you doing?
I'm using my husband's big fancy computer, and I'm like, nope, just going to use my phone.
I'm using what I know, right?
Right.
Oh. I'm just making notes here so I can write this up. All right. What's on your mind, Jill?
So I just joined in September. So
still
figuring all this out.
Okay.
But really excited to do this work.
Okay.
And my story a little bit is that I've actually lost over 100 pounds.
Oh,
On my own, doing a lot of low carb stuff and some intermittent fasting.
Okay.
But in the midst of it, I developed some issues with binge eating, so which has become much more of a concern to me now, as I'm still about 30 pounds from my goal weight. But
The
binge eating has really been a big barrier for me now.
Did you binge before you
Never.
Started losing weight?
Mm-mm. No, I think I was just, I was very heavy and just ate what I wanted when I wanted. But I think the restriction that I was doing kind of triggered a lot of the desire and really kind of brought this up for me. Mm-hmm. And so I've learned that kind of I need to back off from weight loss goals right now and really tune into the binge eating and the urges and desire.
Okay. So I think that's pretty smart.
I do.
So this is pretty common.
Yeah.
I think physiologically what happens is that you've deprived your body of something that it's used to getting and that it likes in these carbs when you went low carb.
Yeah.
And that created all these urges from the habits beforehand created all these urges for you to eat. And then once you started eating, the urges got stronger. You basically fed the urges, right? And the urges got bigger and stronger.
Yes.
So it's super common. I will say this about intermittent fasting. I know some people do it. What I find really fascinating about fasting is that we all do it to a certain extent, right? From dinner time right. to breakfast time, mm-hmm. or from the last yeah. time you eat at night until breakfast time. Some people do it longer. Some people do 20-hour fasts and 18-hour fasts. I'm not a fan of those.
As I've started doing this, I find that if I'm not hungry, mm-hmm. then I do fine. It's when I'm not, I'm ignoring the hunger that I'm feeling to push a fast. That's when I really was getting into trouble.
And I think that's super, super aware of you and good of you to, because I think it's much more important to honor hunger, true physical hunger, than it is to push for a fast.
Right.
And, you know, that's totally my thought. That's totally how I would coach that, because your body is telling you it needs fuel. Right. And I am 100% that person who says you need to trust the wisdom of your body. Yes. So that's when it becomes super important to separate physical hunger and emotional hunger.
Right.
And the binge eating comes from the emotional hunger side.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah. Though I think for me, like kind of what starts the ball rolling previously was when I was really hungry. Then I'd get a little taste of the sugar, and then it would dive into the emotional, I want more, I need more kind of thing.
And urgent is a feeling that drives the binge eating, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I think it's really, really interesting that you've caught yourself here and decided to put the brakes on weight loss and manage the binge eating. So how do you think you should do that? What do you think your plan should be?
Well, I've basically been very, very in tune with my hunger, like really, really focusing on my hunger. Mm-hmm. And because I think previously I was just totally ignoring my hunger and kind of mm-hmm. powering through. Mm-hmm. And so now being like, okay, I need to eat now, which has been difficult for me when I'd been doing this for over 2 years. And then stopping when I'm satisfied, because I think I was also doing a lot of overeating because I was so hungry, then I would, you know, stuff myself. And so the feelings that are coming up with some of that about stopping when I think overeating, as well as the, you know, if I plan a joy eat, stopping at just that one serving, those have been where my work is.
Okay.
For sure.
You have a thought that stopping or eating now is difficult.
Right.
Right? Right. I'm guessing that thought isn't working for you, right?
No, it's not.
Okay. So when you hear in your, you know, when you think eat now is difficult, how does that feel? Eating now. You know, okay, so we're going to put in the C line, physical hunger.
Right.
Okay. And your thought is eating now is hard. Right? Why do you think you think that thought? That's an interesting question.
Because I fear what it's going to trigger. I fear that it's going to increase my desire to want to overeat.
Oh, so it's easier to stay hungry.
It is. In some ways,
because you're worried you're going to overeat.
Right.
Oh, that's fascinating.
Isn't that fascinating?
This is such a great call. Okay. So you have fear that you'll overeat. And then you have another model that says being hungry is easier.
Right.
All right. Now let's just look at this from that super logical part of our brain. Okay.
Okay.
That one, you know, the two parts of your brain?
Yep.
Okay.
Prefrontal cortex and the primitive brain.
So is being hungry really easier?
No. Really? Not.
It's really not. In fact, if you eat at -2, which is, I don't know, a little bit hungry, the whisper of hunger, whatever you want to call it, you haven't reached urgent yet.
Right.
Urgent hunger yet. Okay?
Yes.
That's the way this hunger scale is built. And then if you eat to +2, you know, obviously you're satisfied. There's no heaviness and all that kind of stuff. So if you are able to manage -2 to +2, actually, there's no fear of overeating, and you know, you don't have to be hungry to lose weight and all that kind of stuff. So that's right. what Corinne teaches us. That's the logic right. of it. Your primal brain, the party in the back. I love the way Corinne, she just did this down at camp. She called it the mullet brain, right?
There you go.
Business up front, party in the back. Yes. I love that analogy. Is like, oh no, we're going to overeat. If we take one bite, we're going to overeat.
Right.
Right?
You're not going to be able to stop.
You're it's not going to be able to stop.
Right. Right. Yeah.
That's the thought that you really, really have to stop believing.
Right.
You have to stop. Let's do the model. Do you know the model?
Yes, I know it well.
All right. So what did I just say? Oh, if we start eating, we won't be able to stop. Right?
Right.
What's that feeling?
Fear.
Fear. And the action. When you feel this fear, what do?
Then I either don't eat and put it off longer,
uh-huh.
or I start eating, but I am very anxious about it.
Yeah. You don't eat, then you binge.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And the result is you don't stop eating. You don't stop. Let's put don't stop at +2. Okay.
Right.
You know what goes in the first? You know what goes in the C line of this model? Your urge.
Urge.
That's how you feel about, it could be hunger. Look at my little
sure.
symbol. Isn't that
sure.
cute?
Yeah.
Urge or hunger. Right?
Right.
Okay. So one of the things we do when people have fear of their binges is we plan one. Have you ever planned a binge?
No, I've listened to ones about that. that strikes fear into my heart. It's like, why would I do that?
Why? Why does that strike fear?
Because it's the very thing that I don't want to do. Mm-hmm. So it's.
Are you afraid that you'll eat all the things that you plan?
Yes.
You're
and
eating.
If I did,
you're eating.
Right, I'm eating them anyway. Right. Right.
So, do you understand that when you plan a binge? You're taking the eating decisions out of your mullet in the back,
right?
And putting them up here in your conscious brain,
right?
Okay.
Okay.
It totally changes the perspective of your overeat.
Okay.
Okay. So I really think you should plan a binge. I think you should plan, and I would plan exactly what you're going to eat. So give me an example of what a planned binge, what a binge looks like for you.
Usually.
Always sugary carb stuff?
Yeah. Generally, it's always ice cream, candy. Those are probably my two, like super, super sugary.
Okay.
Reese's peanut butter cups and ice cream.
Do you keep that stuff at home?
No.
Okay. So when you're ready to binge, you go out and buy it? Do you bring
Usually.
It home? Do you eat in the car?
Eat in the car.
Eat in the car.
Yep.
Okay. So you're going to go buy all the things and you're going to bring them home.
Okay.
And you're going to say at 4 o'clock or whatever time, you're going to pick your time.
Okay.
We're eating and we're eating all the things.
Okay.
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 And then there's several calls on the website where Corinne has taken people through processing these planned binges. I want you to listen. Have you listened to those calls yet?
I've listened to some of those. Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely.
I want you to apply yourself in those calls because it really is fascinating. There's so many people who will look at all that stuff and go, I don't want that shit.
Right.
What is
I feel
all
like
this?
Crap if I eat all that.
I'll feel terrible.
Yeah.
But doing that a few times really brings the awareness away from the urge back, you know, away from this urgent part of your brain back into the primal brain. Then the next step for you is to weave some of these things into your realistic plan. Okay. You've got to start planning ice cream.
Right.
You've got to start planning, Reese cups. And you plan one package at a time or two packages. You know, let's say you eat 10 Reese cups during your binge. All right.
Okay.
When it comes time to put them on your realistic plan, maybe you plan 8.
Okay.
Okay. And then you see them on your plan and you decide, do I want all 8 of those? Or do right. I just want 2 or 3? And then you do that for a week. And then the next week you plan 6. And you say, well, you know, each day, do I want all 6 of those or do I just want 2 or 3? You see what I'm saying? So it kind of brings that eating behavior back into the prefrontal cortex and back into a manageable, for you, sure. manageable quantity, right?
Sure.
You're not restricting right. at all. Right. You're allowing.
Right.
And you're seeing it on your plan and you're deciding if that's what you really want. But you really make the decision not from a place of should or should not. Okay, I shouldn't right. eat that because that's going to create the restriction for mm-hmm. you again.
Exactly.
You say, this is allowed because it's planned. I just get to decide if I want it.
Okay.
Do you see the difference?
Yes.
It's super important to see the difference there.
Yeah. I do a lot of should not.
Yeah. Should thinking. Is, should just never, if never you hear should in your brain, it's usually because you're having a beat down going on.
Sure.
You're having some negative, you know, talking to yourself moments going on in your head, and that those are never productive. If you have negative self-talk in the action line of your model, it's not going to produce a good result.
Right.
You know, it's just not. So that's what I would do. I love the fact that you're okay with putting weight loss on hold. So you can bring
it. Taking me a while to get there.
Yeah, I love that.
But and you know, it's gotten to the point where it's just not. It creates more fear and anxiety, and it's, you know, what I weigh now. I tell myself it's so much better than where I was, and if I want to stay here or lose the weight in the future, I've got to tackle this.
That's exactly
this
right.
This is my barrier.
Right. I was just going to say this now. Tackle and barrier. You know, you could. Well, say this is just the next step in my process,
right?
Next step in yes. my journey.
Yes.
And you're exactly right. If, you know, if you're okay with during this process of planning binges and whatnot with, maintaining your weight for a little while or, you know, going up and down a little bit,
right.
Then this is the work to do. This is definitely the work to do. There's another call I want you to listen to. I need to make notes so I can link these calls. There's another call I want you to listen to, and it's a call that Corinne did that I think the title is "What If the Binges Don't Stop?"
Okay.
Okay. And what that call focuses on is compassion for yourself as you're learning your eating habits and as you're working on them. Okay.
Okay.
I'm making notes here too, so I can put these in the notes. So for you, next steps are super realistic planning.
Yeah.
And planning a binge.
All right.
So when are you gonna plan your binge?
I have to take a look at my calendar. Probably either Wednesday or Friday probably will be
when
my
would
easiest
you,
days.
When would you most likely binge? Between now and then, or this week, would it be Wednesday or Friday, or would it be Monday?
It probably wouldn't be Monday because Monday is crazy busy, so I don't really have time to even.
Oh, interesting!
Binge.
I don't have time to binge today.
No,
I guess
I jump from one thing to another, like uh-huh. active things. It's usually grabbing, you know, some nuts and an apple in the car between work and the choir that I'm in. So, okay. But yeah, I would say. Probably Wednesday would be the most likely day that I would binge.
When you have an open
it's my long day at work, and I'm usually just mentally spent and don't have the wherewithal. So that would probably be the best time to plan it. And then,
are you still low carb? Are you still low carb in your diet?
No, I'm much more. Since September, I've added in far more carbs. I still don't do gluten because I just feel like crap.
I do too.
But I've added back in fruit, okay. which I've loved, and
potatoes.
You know, we've had beans and lentils,
good.
Potatoes occasionally, like sweet potatoes, okay. squashes, mm-hmm. that kind of stuff.
Okay.
So good. Yeah, real healthy carbs. We've added back in a lot more
because okay.
I've realized that's kind of part of what I need to do.
And you've set aside the planned fasts for now too?
You're just
mm-hmm. responding to hunger? Good.
Yep.
Good.
Yep.
All that goes back to being very realistic and and very open with your planning. Y'all, I lost weight that way. I did not cut carbs. I didn't even cut sugar and flour until my last 10 pounds. And I only did that to see if it would help my arthritis, my knees.
I've noticed my joints feel way better when I don't eat mm-hmm. the gluten.
Yeah.
It's true.
Gluten is a big thing. Sugar. I can tell if I have a glass of wine. I know if I have a glass of wine, that my knees are going to hurt the next day.
Yeah. I don't really do much alcohol at all anymore. Yeah. That's something that I've found is I don't miss that.
Does that help?
That's fantastic. Yes. Thank you.
Awesome. I'm really interested to hear how you do on your plan binge.
All right.
I want to see when I'm on another call. Of course, I have Tuesday, but you said you weren't going to do it until Wednesday or Friday. Betsy has office hours on Saturday.
All right.
And she also does the Zoom on Sunday. And I bet she would love to help you process the binge too.
Okay.
She also does some of that work.
All right.
So cool. That would be super cool to hear from you again.
All right.
All right.
I will bring it back.
All right. Awesome. You can also post and ask coaches.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right.
Thank you,
Take
Kathy.
Care. You're welcome.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Tana, I hope I'm saying your name right. You're next. And I will coach Tana and one more if anybody else wants to raise their hand. I'm not sure what I just did. What just happened? Tana, raise your hand again. I think I pulled a Corinne and hit the wrong button. She's always talking about how she hit the wrong button. Sorry about that. Let's try again. I'm also in a hotel room and my mouse doesn't act right on this desk. All right. I think I got you this time.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
That's okay.
All right. My cards are almost full. Oh, nope. I got another space to do another model if I need to. What's up?
So I'm a September baby, mm-hmm. but have been following since July. And I've been doing pretty well with this, actually. It's been very exciting. Mm-hmm. But here's my question.
Okay.
I am trying to figure out when you move a food over from being part of your daily plan into mm-hmm. it's really an exception food.
Oh, good question. I love the food protocol. Okay.
And I think in this past week, I have recognized that even though I have been planning popcorn, mm-hmm. I think popcorn's an exception for me because while I've done so much better at managing the quantity and it is reducing, I end up noticing it just feels salty and whatnot the next day. And it just sort of dawned on me today. Maybe that's an exception food. And I've been really kind of planning whatever I want. Mm-hmm. And I haven't really had an exception food, if that mm-hmm. makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to figure that out.
Okay. So this is, I love this question. This is a great question. You have been doing the realistic plan. You're planning the thing, you're planning, you know, the things,
yes.
and taking a look at how everything feels in your body. Right. And you have figured out that the popcorn, while you love it and you eat it to, you know, you eat it to your two, I guess, pretty much.
Or do you sometimes it goes to a three. Right.
Okay.
So then there's an overeat. Like, and yesterday, you know, I had to do a recovery sheet because mm-hmm. I didn't have it on my plan. And I just was like, I just want to have it. And I'm like, you know what? You've already had this two other times this week. And I was like, you know what, if you were really like planning this, not every day because the salt and the joints and all of that don't feel good.
So we got two issues.
Oh, yeah, we did.
We got eating off plan, and we got when do I move to exception. So yeah. Let's go back to moving to exception first. If you realize that you don't like the way you respond when you eat it from a physical standpoint.
Yeah.
Or from a mind management standpoint, like when I'm going to stop, it's probably an exception. It's probably time to move it over. The other way you know is when you're planning realistically and you're not losing weight or mm-hmm. you're gaining weight, you know that there are some edges to trim in your plan. So I think you figured out popcorn is one of those things that for you is best planned and considered an exception and not an everyday thing, right?
Right, because I realized like if I planned this, like if I have it and I had it like a couple days in a row, my weight went up mm-hmm. a pound, but I, you know, it was just how I felt. And I thought, ooh, I found an exception food. It was right. Almost like,
well, okay, you know, for I'm me, yeah, for me, cheesecake is an exception food. Okay, I love cheesecake. I would have it every single day. Would I maintain my weight eating cheesecake every day? That's a no. So it's a super special occasion food for me. French fries might be an every week thing, but I can eat them to my two and stop.
Okay,
so I've managed my mind around, I did not used to be able to do that with French fries, but yeah. I've managed my mind around that and I've paid attention enough to know, to be able to have that thought in my mind, do I want the rest of these French fries or do I want to get in my pants tomorrow? Do I want to feel good in my pants tomorrow? Because that's, seriously, y'all, that's my compelling reason right now is to look good in my pants, okay? That just tells me I'm staying within my range.
Yeah.
And, you know, the clothes that I like and all that kind of stuff. So if you know that it's a trigger food for you, that you're going to eat off plan, it's always better planned. Okay. Any food is always better planned. And what you do when you plan that food is you visualize ahead of time. I'm going to have my popcorn. I'm going to sit in this chair. This is how much I'm going to eat. I'm going to enjoy every bite. Right. I bet you're eating your popcorn in front of the TV and looking down at your plate going, what happened to my popcorn?
Well, you know what? This is what was so weird about it. When I went off plan the other night, I was in front of the TV, but I was being mindful. It was like I only ate one piece at a time.
Uh-huh. Did you taste every single piece?
Pretty much, but I was watching TV and I've already recognized that like eating and TV are not a good combination.
Well, let me ask you this.
Cause you can't, you're not focused on how you're feeling, how your body's feeling.
Would you have eaten the same amount of popcorn if you'd sat at the dining room table with it?
Probably not.
No.
Probably not. I'm like, oh,
right? That's how you know you were eating distracted. Whether you think you were, you know, one piece at a time is a beautiful little habit. But if you would have stopped eating before eating all that popcorn, if you had been undistracted, then you know that you were distracted eating.
Ah, okay.
Right? I often tell people who have trouble finding their two to eat at the dining room table. And stop eating, you know, with the TV on or with the, you know, phone next to you or while you're reading a book or something like that. That's how you know.
Yeah. And I think I got started in that habit long ago with work and eating through lunch. Mm-hmm. And now I'm retired and I don't have to do that.
You don't. It's so interesting how much less you'll eat, how much you'll realize you don't need all that food if you eat without all the distractions going on around you.
Yeah.
Corinne often talks about how she knows she's hit her plus two because she starts thinking about what's on her to-do list for the afternoon or, you know, I wonder if so-and-so is posted in Facebook, you know, or whatever. She often knows, wait, if I'm not focused on this food anymore, if it's not jazzing me up anymore, I'm out. I don't need anymore. Her body signal, her brain signal that she doesn't need any.
Yeah.
Interesting, right?
Yeah. So this is actually really helpful. Thank you so much because mm-hmm. I was just like,
All right. I've been planning the stuff, and for the most part, I'm following it. I'm not a real huge junk eater. So it's really been more about eating, knowing where the 2-2 is.
So how are you going to address this desire to eat popcorn off plan? How are you going to address the overeat part? I mean, just calling an exception doesn't mean I'm not going to go pop some popcorn. All you did was move it from one column on a piece of paper to another.
Yeah, that's true.
What are you going to do with your thoughts about it?
Well, okay. I think I have to choose a better thought than, buttery poppy taste.
So this is where you decide, oh, this is such a great week for this too. You're a September baby. We're going into taking control, which is the module of No BS that talks about urges.
Right? Yeah.
This is where you get to practice allowing an urge rather than resisting an urge.
Yeah.
You get a thought, man, buttery popcorn would be really good right now. And you're either going to take that thought. Well, you're either going to feed the thought or you're not. If you don't feed it, if you don't eat, then you're either going to resist the urge to eat or you're going to allow the urge to eat. Resistance is, oh my God, this is so hard. I don't know if I can, I'm going to give it 10 minutes, man. If I'm 10 minutes, I'm out, you know, a white knuckle, you know, this is hard. I shouldn't be thinking this. I can't believe I think this about popcorn, right? All that kind of anger and frustration and I don't want to feel this and all that kind of stuff. That's resisting an urge. Okay. Yeah. It feels like you've hit a wall. It feels like you're pushing against it.
Yeah.
Allowing an urge is, I'd really like some popcorn right now. Popcorn would taste good. But you know what? I don't think I'm going to have any. It's going to be okay. So last night after the camp party, you know, we have a party every Saturday night. I was hungry. I came up here. I was sharing a room with Mary Jo. I looked at Mary Jo and I said, I'm hungry. It's 10 o'clock. It's been 6 hours or 5 hours since I had a light dinner. I guess I'm just going to go to bed hungry. It's okay. I'll just dine in. You know, that's allowing an urge. And it passes. It's like any other feeling, you know, comes in and it sits there for a minute. You say, yeah, I'm feeling an urge to eat. It's okay. This is how I handle popcorn now and move on. You just don't get angry at it. You just let it be.
Yeah.
It's practice.
Is it acceptable to train yourself to do something else instead? Like I'm going to drink water instead, or I'm going to go read a book, or I'm going to go do this. Or is that not? Sort of avoiding drinking, it, I guess.
It is. It's an avoidance. But a lot of times when you have an urge to eat, it's because you're thirsty. You think it's hunger and it's actually thirst. So it's not, I would say drinking a glass of water to see if that satisfies it is actually a good thing to do.
Okay.
Distracting yourself from an urge, probably not a bad thing to do, as long as it's not like because you're eating. Right? What you don't want to get in the habit of doing is eating instead of feeling. Okay?
Right.
Or shopping instead of feeling.
Yeah.
So like I'm stressed out. I need a candy bar is buffering. That's the buffer. Or stressed out. And I think I'm going to online shop for a little while. You know, that's a buffer. Taking a drink of water or drinking a bottle of water. That just tells you if it's real hunger or not. And that's okay.
Okay. All right. I think I have a path forward here.
Good. Does that help?
Yes, it does. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. See you later.
Alrighty.
Bye.
Bye.
Kimberly, see what you got. Uh-oh, I almost did it to you too. Hi there. I almost changed you back to attendee too. Glad I didn't.
Oh,
there you are. Okay. I was like, oh no, I can't hear you, but I got you. What's up?
Okay. So I'm a September baby. So this is rather nerve-wracking for me. So I've been working a lot on the mental work lately. This mm-hmm. is definitely not about food at the moment, mm-hmm. but I'm finding that I'm coming up against a lot of, I'm not worthy and mm-hmm. I'm not worth the effort or I don't deserve it kind of thoughts. And mm-hmm. I kind of want some help figuring out how to work through those. Like, I've been watching everybody at camp this weekend and going, wow, I really should sign up for camp. And then mm-hmm. my brain automatically goes to, no, you're just going to waste the money, or it's not, you know, you'll have quit by then. There are a whole bunch of like baggage type thoughts mm-hmm. going on there. So I'm hoping to get some help working through those kind of thoughts and okay. how to handle those.
Okay. So it sounds to me, do you have those thoughts frequently or just when you're trying something new or thinking about signing up for camp or?
I'd say they're probably pretty frequent. Yeah.
Okay. So do they come around when you're thinking about doing something for yourself?
Definitely. Yes.
Okay. Why do you think that is?
I don't really know. I'm so used to doing things for everyone else.
For other people.
I'm definitely a people pleaser.
I wish you had been here. Corinne coached this very issue yesterday. This girl stood up and she said, I'm the person who does everything for everybody else. I'm not the person who, you know, I'm not worth people doing things for me. Right?
Yeah.
So that's a practice thought. Everybody has the same worthiness, right? I mean, really and truly, if you line everybody up, you know, let's say we put 25 people in the line, you can't go down the line and say, well, she's worth more than she is. And he's, you know, let's rank everybody's worthiness, right?
Yeah.
You believe that? If you were to line 25 people up that you know, would you be able to rank their worthiness? Or would they all be worth the same?
Everyone else? Yes.
Yes.
But then.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm demonstrating that if I put you in that line or someone else put you in that line of 25 people, we would also have the thought that there's not anyone who is more worthy than another. Okay.
Right.
So you have the thought and have practiced the thought that you're not. So that's a self-love, self-worth issue. Self-love, self-worth goes in the feeling line of your model.
Okay.
You know the model? Studied it last week? A little bit of the fat girl?
I'm learning it right now.
Okay.
Like I was studying it last night.
Right. So a thought creates a feeling. So you have a thought that creates unworthy. Okay. Do you know what that thought is? Do you know why you feel unworthy?
No.
If you had to guess, you just take a wild guess.
Everyone else is better than me. Yeah. I don't belong. I don't fit.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are the thoughts for you to work on. Everyone else is better than me. I don't belong. Okay. So then what you do with those thoughts is you ask yourself, is that really the truth? Okay. So let's take, I don't belong. You have friends?
Yes. They're few, but I keep my friends close.
Right. I do too. Do you have a family?
Yes.
Do you get along with your family?
The immediate family, yes.
Yeah. Okay. So you belong with the immediate family.
Yeah.
And you belong to this group of friends. Okay. What about deserving to be a member of that family? Do you deserve to be a member of that family?
Yeah.
Yeah. You deserve to have these friends?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is what you do. You set your brain to start looking for evidence of why you might be worthy. Okay.
Okay.
So why did you sign up for PMP? Why did you give Corinne $289 at the beginning of September?
Because I want to change.
Okay.
I don't want to continue running on the same hamster wheel I've been mm-hmm. all my life.
So were you worth that $289 investment?
Sometimes I thought so. Sometimes I was like, yeah. Here's just another.
So let's talk about the times you thought so. Why did you think so?
Because I work hard for my money and.
Because you're ready for change.
Yeah. If I don't do something for me, I'm never going to be able to care for those in my life.
You're never going to be able to care for yourself either.
True.
Right? So this is your work. Your work is to find your worthiness, is to look for, you have to look for it. It's not just going to show up one day and go, hey, Kimberly, look. We're awesome, right? Corinne yep. went from being a bullied, overweight teenager to fabulous over a period of, 30 years?
Right.
Right? That overweight teenager had to do the work to find her worthiness over time. She had to create this evidence that she was worthy of spending money on, of losing weight, of getting her hair done and her nails and buying a new jacket, you know, whatever it was. She had to do those. She had to look for evidence, create the thoughts that told her that she was worth the effort or the financial commitment. Okay? If you were to sign up for camp, you could tell yourself, I'm worth this investment because I want to make changes in myself. I want to find my worthiness. Then every day leading up to camp, when that thought comes in your mind, I don't know why you did that because you ain't worth that effort. You have to just say, for today, I think I'm going to tell you that you're wrong. I think I'm going to say, you know what? I don't really like that thought. I don't want to believe yeah. that anymore. I think that's just how you start.
You have okay.
to start telling yourself. It's called laddering. And in the Fat Girl Thinking module, there's a unit called, I think it's called changing, either believing new things or changing your thoughts. Let's check real quick.
Okay.
Hang on. I gotta find mine. Here we go. I think I have it pulled up. But thought laddering is creating, it's not going from, this is interesting trying to find this while I'm talking, is not going from, I don't think I deserve it, to, I'm fabulous. You're never going to believe that, right? If I were to say, right. okay, Kimberly, that's the new thought you have to believe is I'm fabulous. You'd be like, that's a no, right?
Yeah.
But what you might be able to believe if you start practicing, it's called changing your thoughts, unit 6. What you might be able to believe if you start practicing is, I don't want to believe this about myself anymore. Is that true?
Yes.
Okay. Then when you get that one down, you're like, I'm full on with that thought. I don't uh-huh. want to believe that I'm unworthy anymore. You find the next little step up thought. And that one might be, I'm ready to start thinking about what it feels like to be worthy. Right?
Okay.
See how it just goes up just a little bit?
Yep.
I'm ready to start thinking about what it feels like to be worthy. There's nothing in there that says, I'm fabulous. It says, I'm ready to start being curious about it. I'm ready to start thinking about what it might feel like. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yes. In the meantime, as you're moving up these little steps on the ladder to fabulous, you're doing things that create self-worth. Your journaling, what else? What else do you think you could do to create self-worth?
Taking care of myself.
Right.
Putting in the effort on myself.
Self-care. Mm-hmm. All that is self-care. You might read a book, Like You Are a Badass by Jen Sincero. Oh my gosh, it's life-changing. Have you read that one yet?
I've listened to it on audiobook.
It's good, isn't it? It's really good. She's really entertaining when she reads it too. I don't know. For me, self-care is watching TV in bed. You know, it's like I'm in my bed. I'm feeling all comfy and woobie, and you know, it just makes me happy to watch TV in bed. I don't do it very often. It's like a treat. Putting lotion on is good self-care, but taking 5 minutes to meditate might be self-care. Who knows? You start doing those things while you're practicing new thoughts, and you will begin to question your unworthiness. Does that help? Does that open up anything for you? Does that open up your mind to it at all?
Yeah, I think it gives me some really good steps forward, and I definitely need to watch the video on the laddering.
Yeah. Yeah. I want you to listen to this again and write down the thoughts that I suggested. And modify them to ones that you feel like you can use. Okay.
Okay.
I can give you thoughts all day long, but they're still my thoughts. You can adopt them if they feel right to you, but if they don't feel right, they're never going to land for you. Okay.
Right.
You just modify, you know, your own thoughts and create your own changes in your thought ladder. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
I really want you to think about coming to camp. I think you would be astounded. There are girls here. I talked to a girl this morning that said, when did she join? April, January, maybe January. I don't remember when now. Sometime. She joined sometime before September. And she said, I think I'm going to sign up for camp. And she did. She did not do one thing in the program. Didn't listen to the OBS. She just checked out. And then somebody flagged her in the Facebook group, in the camp group, and said, hey, I need a roommate. Do you have a roommate? And she was like, well, no, I don't have a roommate. Maybe I should get an airplane ticket. She came to camp not having done anything and is leaving. And she's like, oh my gosh, I am ready to go. I'm telling y'all, camp is magic. So if you can commit to yourself to stay in until April, come hell or high water, I'm getting on a call if I need to, I'm working on my thought ladder, I'm doing my thing, I am not leaving this group until after camp.
Mm-hmm.
But you've just created a little bit of investment in yourself, which creates a little bit of self-worth. Right?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know. Something to ponder. Not trying to sell you on camp, just because you brought it up. I thought, you know, maybe that's something you should think about. I don't know.
Yeah.
Why are you crying?
Some heavy stuff.
Yeah. You okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Got any questions?
Nope. Definitely going to have to watch it again, though.
Yeah. Watch it again. Come in to Ask Coaches. Ask any questions you have, okay? And I have office hours Tuesday night if you need a follow-up.
Awesome.
Okay?
Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. Take care.
Bye.
Bye. All right. Two quick questions. Let's see what we got here. Christina, how do you plan a binge? Binging only occurs to me sometimes. I don't know the day before when I'm making my plan that I'm going to want to binge. Do I just pick a day and put it on my plan? Or do I plan one every day on the off chance I will want to binge? No, you pick a day. You pick the food. You pick the time. There is, I will link you guys to that coaching call in the comments. But that's what you do. You say, if I were to plan a binge, I have never identified as a binge eater, but if I were going to plan one, it would be all the cheesecakes. I mean, seriously, carrot cake cheesecake, red velvet cheesecake. I might even throw in a banana cream cheesecake. I don't know. Some kind of chocolate mousse cheesecake. Who knows? I would plan all the cheesecakes. And I would say I'm doing this on Saturday because Saturday is my kind of my free day for myself. And I would say, all right, at noon on Saturday, laying out the cheesecakes, and here we go. So it doesn't have to be when you would normally binge. It helps if it is, or you can just plan one and see what hijinks your brain goes into. The name of the book I referenced is called, You Are a Badass. It is by Jen Sincero. S-I-N-C-E-R-O. She is, it's a super easy read. She is really entertaining. If you're an audiobook listener, she's really entertaining when she reads it too. I loved it. If I had my copy here, I would read you my favorite part of it. But basically, it talks about, my favorite part of the book talks about embracing the uniqueness in yourself. When I was learning to coach, I was learning course under Corinne and under her friend Jane. Corinne and Jane went to life coach school together, and they were my mentors. And I always thought, if I could be just like Jane, I would be an amazing coach. I'd be an amazing coach if I was just like Jane. And I always tried to emulate Jane. And then I read this book. And of course, trying to be Jane wasn't working out for Kathy, right? Trying to be Jane wasn't working out. So I read this book and I got to this part that said, everybody has unique skills and talents. Some of us have the same skills and talents, but we don't use them always in the same way. So it talks about how you are uniquely you, and that makes you a badass. You know, that because if you embrace your uniqueness and you allow yourself to be yourself, you're a pretty big deal. So I just loved that. It gave me the opportunity to be me, and it helped me frame kind of the person I am and the coach I am. So it's kind of cool. All right. That's all I got for today, y'all. I hope you have a great Sunday. Think about all these girls as they travel home. And get home safely and take all the goodness of camp back into their world. And I will see you all on Tuesday night for office hours. I will remind you, Monday night is Zoom Q&A right here with Corinne on the Taking Control module, which is amazing and no BS. Then Wednesday noon is another a coaching call similar to this one. So if you want to be coached on that call, email support. Corinne is traveling, so I'll be back. Thursday is Q&A at 9 a.m. in the Facebook group. Miss Betsy will be doing that, and she will have office hours again on Saturday at noon. You guys have a great, great rest of your day, and I will see you Tuesday night. Bye-bye.